friendship in the Bible. How does it work? What does the Bible have to say? Do we even have to be friends? On this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey friends out there, thanks for joining us on this week of Inverse. We're so glad that you are joining here in the studio with my friends about talking about the Bible. And this episode we're looking at friendship. And before you react and be like, what, friendship? Friendship is one of the most important relationships we have in our lives. And sometimes when we leave school and we're out on our own, and especially in our 20s, we have to make friends again. And for some people, that's actually a difficult process, especially if work is of a particular environment and school is of another. How do you actually engage in friendship with another person? So we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. And if we're not careful, friendship can be just haphazard. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say. Mm-hmm. And the Bible has a lot of principles on friendship. Before we read scripture, Siku, can you pray for us?
Sure. Loving Father, we're so thankful that we can come to your word to learn about this topic that is so crucial in our lives. Mm-hmm. We pray that you would grant us understanding through the Holy Spirit, and ultimately that we can gain friendship with God himself. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then Jonathan chapter 18, verse 1 through 5, if you can read that for us.
Yeah. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants.
All right. Before we get to scripture, I'll ask a general question to all of you. Like, what type of friends are out there in the world, in society?
The first kind of friend that I can think of is a frenemy.
It's a frenemy.
They exist, friends that are actually your enemies.
Yeah.
Enemy, half friend.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. That's the first thing that you thought of.
That's the first thing. Oh, we live in a sinful world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Good thing you're not my friend.
Again. Yeah. You're like giving me that look. Sorry, dude.
One kind of friends that I really appreciate are friends that I can engage in a conversation with, a deep conversation with, and where there is an interest of each other's lives and where we can share experiences. And it's not just doing things together, but really just talking and having a deeper conversation mm-hmm. than just a superficial thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about friendships in our lives. One of the friendships that I appreciate, friends that you don't have to talk. You don't have to mm-hmm. say anything. You don't see each other for years, and you meet up, and it's like not
you
a day
exactly
time. Yeah. But not that you went back in time, but you pick up in terms of the closeness. And no matter how many years pass by, that closeness isn't diminished.
For me, it's very difficult. Well, all throughout your childhood, your friends are kind of naturally by osmosis through the classes that you take. But when you leave school and you enter work, you have to kind of make friends for the first time in an intentional way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird, awkward, especially in a workplace. And then after having kids, after that point, you don't choose your friends. You're friends with the parents of your children's friends. So you're kind of stuck with these people. And you have mutual interests, mutual objectives, and so you become friends with them. But it's very important because friendships impact spiritually the trajectory of where your development will go in the future. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, especially in our 20s, we have the ability to choose those friendships. One of the most profound relationships is found in chapter 18. And what's going on in there, Israel? Give some context to chapter 18.
So there's perhaps in all of Scripture, the ideal example of friendship is the example that exists between David and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
David is one of the greatest heroes in the Bible. It talks about it is through the line of David that the Messiah would be born.
Mm.
David is supposed to be this great king, one of the greatest kings in all of Israel. He is one of the most beautiful songwriters in all of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And he was a good-looking individual, strong, courageous person, mm-hmm. who completely killed and delivered Israel, took out Goliath. And so David is a person that a lot of people think about when they think about Scripture. Yet Jonathan here is the subject of chapter 18, the first five verses. Mm-hmm. If you read those verses, look at how many times Jonathan is the subject of the story here. It says that Jonathan was the one that loved David as his own soul. It was Jonathan that along with David made that covenant. It was Jonathan that took off his robe and gave it to David. And he gave him his own armor and his own sword and his own bow and his own belt. Mm-hmm. And although on earth, David is a very big superhero when it comes to the Christian and the Bible student. Yep. It is Jonathan who in the books of heaven is admired for probably one of the best examples of unselfish love, mm-hmm. where he, even though he is the rightful heir to the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. he understands that God has chosen David, and he willfully steps out of the way and agrees to empower David, mm-hmm. to take a position that, from an earthly perspective, belongs to him. And there is, from this perspective, there is no greater example of what a true friend, what a real friend is.
I love verse 1. It says, the soul of Jonathan, meaning his innermost parts, was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, you don't see this kind of tight friendship mm-hmm. These days. C.S. Lewis said that one of the disadvantages or negatives of homosexuality is not all the other arguments that people are talking about, but it actually erodes where two people of the same gender cannot be as close as they can, because there's the fear of being thought of as a romantic relationship. And many who read this passage itself think that this is a romantic language, a romantic relationship. But it is kind of a guy thing, no? Like, Jonathan, we're tight. We're like really tight. We're like really, really tight. I mean, there is in our society, there's a bromance is the closest thing we can get. Mm-hmm. But if you get closer than that, there is a certain level of awkwardness, a barrier there's no barrier here. Mm-hmm. No barrier here.
Mm-hmm. I can't relate. I'm not a dude, so.
Well, women have.
I feel like women have more license to develop close relationships, societally, to speak their hearts and. But something that strikes me in terms of Jonathan and David's relationship in the previous chapters in 1 Samuel.
Mm.
We have chapter 17 where David, slays Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
But all the way back to chapter 14, you have Jonathan doing these amazing feats, right? So mm-hmm. Jonathan is out there single-handedly defeating an entire garrison of Philistines, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how you get the famous phrase, God can save by many or by few. It was mm-hmm. Jonathan who was out there. And he's this incredible man of faith
mm-hmm.
and a man of war, who goes in the strength of the Lord and defeats. So when you get to chapter 17 and Jonathan sees David doing this as well, mm-hmm. David is his kind of guy, mm-hmm. right? Jonathan is that kind of a person, and David is that kind of person as well. And their souls are knit together in a kinship because they have a similar relationship with God and a similar faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And I read somewhere in studies that Jonathan and David are probably about 10 years apart in age.
Mm-hmm.
So that Jonathan is kind of like an older brother, sort of. Like, mm-hmm. This is my younger counterpart, and they develop this strong friendship. It's like he sees a younger version of him, in Jonathan. Mm-hmm. In David.
Mm-hmm. I think it's powerful, the fact that here Jonathan is spiritually mature, more mature than his own father,
mm-hmm.
and sees in David not just the true king, but someone who is faithful to God, and this is what connects them. So the foundation for their friendship is really their faithfulness to God, their believing God, their trust in God, and their willingness to serve God, even at the risk of their own lives. I mean, both of them ran into their, from an earthly perspective, death.
Mm-hmm.
But God blessed them as they did. So I love the fact, and I think this is a very important principle when it comes to finding friends. Look for people that where the foundation of your friendship will be spiritual. A foundation of your friendship is, we serve the same God, and we serve a God who has a purpose for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
I love how verse 5, it follows follows what Jonathan does for David. It says, that Jonathan gave David his armor, his sword, mm-hmm. his bow, and his belt. And then I love the effect of that cause in verse 5. It says, so David went out wherever Saul sent him, and it says he behaved wisely.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of it as, you know, the impact that Jonathan had on David was manifested in David going executing the commands that Saul gave him, but of behaving himself in a wise way. And I think that that's ultimately the effect of a genuinely strong friendship, that there is a situation where two individuals help each other, not just relate better or draw closer to God, but also become better citizens of the places where they live.
Well, let me ask you, we're looking at the concept of God's will, and sometimes we will talk about, if we haven't talked about already, children, family, and sometimes if without God's will being looked at, we just kind of float from one stage of life and engage from this and just naturally just, you know, absorb into things. But the Bible says that we need to be proactive in choosing friends, yes? And friends have an impact on our even our eternal salvation. So the question I have for you this is, what are some principles? How do we know? Obviously, there are acquaintances and compatriots we always come into contact with, and that's, we have no control over that.
Yeah.
But really good friends that we really want to cherish and hone. How do we find? What are the parameters? What is God's will for us in those kind of arenas?
If we can read from Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 26.
Proverbs 12, 6.
26. Proverbs 12, 26.
26.
It says that the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. So a carefulness is needed. It's easy to just, you know, throw yourself into a situation where there's maybe many people and you can pick and choose maybe in college or wherever you are, university or workplace. Oh, I'm just going to be friends with everybody. But the Bible says very clearly here, choose very carefully. Why? Because there are certain principles of life that will affect you when you interact with other human beings. There is a law of life that you become more and more like the person that you interact with. So depending on who that is, that will, you know, come back to you. A perfect example is you talk to me, you know, and then I talk to you and you hear my accent and then you start talking kind of German.
I'm now German.
And but, you know, I notice this all the time when I talk to people. I kind of start adopting their way of talking without even wanting that. And so but this, on a grand scheme of things, like the more time you spend with your friends, the more you become like them. So you want to choose someone who is focusing on Jesus in that regard.
And to go along with that, there's Psalms also puts it in a slightly different way. It says, blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. It's talking about here the person, the individual who seeks a companionship, who does not walk in the counsel of people who are ungodly, who does not stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. And so it's talking about the influences of an individual, a person who surrounds himself not with negative influences, but with positive influences. I understand in my life that there are a lot of challenges that I have, and the friends that I develop are designed to help me through these challenges.
Okay, hold that thought, Israel. When we come back after the break, we're going to hear what Israel has to say about his friends, and also the topic of what happens when friends betray you. Itu Bute. Stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back. We were just reading Psalms 1, 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3. It has these three states of where the man is. He's walking, standing, and sitting, and the psalm is giving us instructions on in those three states, meaning really all the stages of wherever you are, on what of who not to hang out with. And so, Israel, you're continuing.
Yeah, well, by contrast, it tells us who we should hang out with.
Implicitly,
And so, I was mentioning before that, for me, I understand in life the challenges that I'm facing. You know, there's so many things in my life that I don't like about my character. There's so many challenges that I might face at work. There's challenges that I might face at home with my children or with my wife, a spouse. And I have come to value more and more the friendships of individuals who have my best interests in mind. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is the most critical principle of a true and genuine friendship. Find a person that you can really trust yourself with, mm-hmm. that they're not going to be looking at, you know, oh, Israel's going through a hard time. Look at how, you know, how crazy his stuff is, or I'm going to go tell someone else, hey, pray for Israel. He's, you know, he's about to have a divorce, or his children are going to, you know, run away from home or whatever. But someone who,
not the case, right?
Not the case.
Yeah.
Right? I love my wife. She loves me.
Amen.
My kids love me
Amen.
Too. And so what we need is we need people who will, even though we have weaknesses, will knit our own souls with their souls so that our problems are bared up also on their shoulders, or borne on their on their shoulders to help us through this challenge.
One of the ways that you're asking about how to go about finding these friends that we really need, a good friend of mine actually told me that when she was in college, she prayed that God would give her friends, mm-hmm. godly friends, friends whose goals in life were similar to hers, like to honor God, you know. And she said to me, she said, you are an answer to my prayer. And this was at a period in our lives where it kind of life got kind of crazy, and it's hard to keep in touch, you know, it's hard to like talk on the phone. And she was really faithful in making sure we connected, and we connected and kept in touch. And she said to me, she said, I'm not letting you go as a friend because you were an answer to my prayer when I asked God to send me a friend.
Oh, wow.
And it meant a lot to me, and I never thought of, until that point, I never thought of praying for friends. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Lord, please send me godly friends who will help me to be a better Christian.
Yeah.
And since then, up to this stage in our life, she's prayed, she's like, Lord, foreseeing a possibility of a relationship, please help us in our friend group to get into relationships about the same time so that we're at a similar stage in life and we can pray with each other through the stage. And we've got married around the same time with our group of friends, we have children around the same age, and it's kind of crazy that she prays about this stuff and God has been answering her faithfully. So I think prayer, you know, just from a practical experience.
It's very practical. I've actually never thought about it either. I thought friends are friends and forever.
For the Lord of them, a friend will not say never. What a welcome will not end.
Yeah, but it's what about you're saying. You get to a stage where you become friends with your kids' friends' parents. And so she was praying that our kids could be similar ages so that we could continue to be friends because we're at a similar stage. And
yeah, I mean, if we're praying for our spouses that much, I mean, it just makes sense we pray for our friends and mm-hmm. the right godly influences are similar.
I'm just going to add to what both of you are saying here. You're saying looking for friends who have the best interest in mind for you, especially spiritually. This is what's happening here in 1 Samuel 18, mm-hmm. because Jonathan gives David his armor. He gives his position in a way. He's like, here's the best armor of Israel.
Crown prince's armor.
Here it is. Because I recognize God's calling on your life. Mm-hmm. And to have someone who is so humble in your life, who will support you, even though that means that he loses his opportunities, that is incredible. Now, the reality is that there are not that many people out there that are like that.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, we might be getting sad or frustrated and depressed, like, oh, Lord, I don't have anyone like this. Please send me friends. And he might answer it. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But I think in the meantime, we can also ask God to make us like that. Mm-hmm. I really believe God calls us to be a friend like that if you don't have one. To in that way, have a ministry, friendship as a ministry of equals, though.
Mm-hmm. You know, to me, as you're speaking, Jonathan, what kind of strikes me is that although not everyone is going to ultimately have a spouse, mm-hmm. there is, I believe, a friend for everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes if the friend is not obvious, like we do go through droughts, maybe friendship droughts. Mm-hmm. I'm looking back in my life, and I can trace the fact that even though I don't live close to my closest friends anymore, mm-hmm. you know, all you guys have moved away from Michigan, the friendship still continues and it still lingers. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually thankful. Some of the hardest moments in my life, mm-hmm. at work, in my family life, when, you know, I lost my father and my brother, mm-hmm. it was actually this group. You know, it was this group that kind of helped uplift me during some of the most difficult times. And so I'm under the impression that as I look back on the highs of my life and the lows of my life, mm-hmm. that it has been in every one of those instances I've had the blessing mm-hmm. of friends being there to uplift me. And I know there's a lot of people who are wondering, man, am I ever going to get married, or will I ever have a spouse? Or the answer to some of these questions might be no. You know, you might never get married. But the opportunity to be a real friend to someone mm-hmm. is, I think, is there for everyone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love the principle of that iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And for me, as an only child, I have always loved having friends. Mm-hmm. I thought of friends as more brothers and sisters. And there's something that I love to quote, the phrase, show me your friends, show me your company, and I know your character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's just, you know, I love being inspired by it, by even you guys on the team here, there's different aspects that you have. And the cool thing is, the more, as you said before, Jonathan, mm-hmm. the more that I hang out, these things that I absorb, different ideas, even challenges, even the things that I disagree with, it's iron, mm-hmm. sharpening an iron. And it toughens me up, not just toughen up like in a harder sense, but it toughens me up in a softer sense, if that makes sense. And, yeah. and it challenges me and to be more Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And it's that form of character development that's just so attractive and so natural, mm-hmm. you know, without being painful. Well, some of you guys are painful, but but it's a blessing. Kumbaya moment.
No, well, it's amazing to me that Scripture, when Jesus lived on this earth, he talked about family, right? Mm. He says, if you don't, you know, love me more than your father, mother, whatever, you can't be my disciple. Mm-hmm. But he also talks about friends, right? Mm-hmm. He says, greater love has no man than a man lay down his mm. life for his friends. And so over and over in Scripture, you see the value that God places on friendship mm-hmm. and the need for companionship. I mean, when he created Adam and Eve, he created them because they needed each other. They needed help meets for one another. Mm-hmm. They needed someone that could fulfill their needs on an equal level. I mean, a dog is a man's best friend. I really believe that. You know, my dog, we just had to put him down this last spring. And I remember, and to this day, sometimes when I come home, I'm thinking like, where's my dog? You know, he used to come always, even in his old age, and greet me and whatever. But that would never be enough companionship mm-hmm. to make me to wipe away loneliness out of my life. And so God values friendship enough, and I think it's an awesome act of love that he gives us friends to be able to experience the joys, mm-hmm. right? And also be able to withstand the sorrows. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a beautiful act of love that God
does. We have a great verse in John 15:14. You are my friends. John 15:14. Jonathan, you're still looking for it?
I was just looking for that verse. No,
okay, my friend. Yeah. Verse 14. You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, mm-hmm. for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father and I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in me, in my name, that he may give you. This, the concept of friends for me has helped me to understand Jesus as a friend. Yeah. Because, you know, as I speak to all of you, I speak to him the same way. But then as I get to know Jesus as a friend and I become like him, mm-hmm. it helps me to be a better friend back to my human friends. It's mm-hmm. this cool little relationship that mm-hmm. that's symbiotic. And then just my friends, but as a better son, a better spouse, a better husband. And so Jesus is like the ultimate friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As cheesy as that sounds, really when you look at the dynamics, that is what's going on there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I just pulling together what you were saying about Jesus as a friend, the example of Christ's friendship that sticks out to me is just before he goes to the cross, when one of his closest friends betrayed him.
Yes.
Right? It's crazy to me that they were up there, you know, and he's washing their feet, and he knows that Judas is about to go out and betray him, you know, into the hands of his enemies. And this, he's about to go to the cross because of Judas's actions, and yet he's so gracious and so kind to Judas. Mm-hmm. So, and when you think about being a friend, like what Jonathan was talking about, being that friend for somebody else, it's one thing to be a beneficiary of that kind of friendship. It's another thing to be that kind of friend, mm-hmm. you know, to be the friend who puts themselves out there knowing that you're going to get hurt, you know.
and being willing to sacrifice yourself really for the benefit of somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
And that Jesus was that friend, but we can't be that kind of friend unless we have that friendship with Jesus in the first place, because he's the only one who could really do that.
Sometimes friendship is not an equal thing where you're getting the exact same thing back, and you kind of go, oh, yeah, that's great. Sometimes it really is a sacrificial ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But God calls, I mean, that's what God does to us. He's a friend of sinners. And so God calls us to do the same to others.
Well, that's what would happen exactly in the life of Jonathan.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't an equal relationship.
Right.
Jonathan didn't get an equal. It's not a partnership in business where, hey, I'll give you my armor, and then when you become king, I'm going to be a co-king. Friendship is not designed. God's kingdom never works that way.
Mm-hmm.
It always, and that's why Jonathan becomes the best example of friendship in Scripture, because he's a person that totally surrenders what he has. And you know, in my human interactions with people, oftentimes I've come, everyone here has been betrayed by friends.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it so hard for us to forgive is the fact that we feel that we've given and not received.
Mm-hmm.
And really the life of Jonathan, the life of, or the words of Scripture rebuke that kind of a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
It's a friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't think of the guy's name. You guys will help me, but I'm thinking of Jonathan's son,
Mephibosheth.
Yeah, I mean, years later, Jonathan has died, Saul has died, the house of Saul is gone, except for Mephibosheth, who was a purple boy, David extends a seat to Mephibosheth. I mean, that's just the cool, the next generation of the friendship continues.
For Jonathan's sake.
Mm-hmm. How many of you out there are needing good friends, or you're wanting to show Christ's friendship to other people? Oh, this can only be done by the grace of God. And I've been so gracious that God has given me wonderful friends. We want to extend our friendship to all of you watching out there. Thank you for watching Inverse. You've been a blessing to us on social media and on InverseBible.com, .org, and on Facebook and whatnot. Please send us more of your encouragement. We'd appreciate it, and we want to send more encouragement back to you through our prayers. God bless you. We'll see you next week here at Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.